Well, let's talk about Christmas. God became one of us. I want to talk to you from John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John, the writer of this gospel, was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. His village was Bethsaida. Peter and his brother Andrew and Philip were also from the same village. John also had a brother named James. All these men were disciples of Jesus. They knew him intimately. When you know someone well, you know their good points and their not so good. However, John, Jesus' closest friend, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was... John is testifying to the fact that Jesus was not quite the same as himself, nor his brother, nor Andrew, Peter, or Philip. John refers back to the first book in the Bible, the very first verses written in Genesis 1, 1 to 3, and thereabouts. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, who?
God.
Created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was. Then God said, let there be land between all the water, and what happened? Land went between the water. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and fruit trees, and it goes on. The word God in the Hebrew is Elohim. It is plural. It is referring to the God of Israel, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one. And what was, this is really interesting, because what was lacking definition in the beginning, what was lacking boundary, what was lacking order, God spoke and brought order. God took the primeval sea, referred to as the deep in Scripture, the cosmic waters of chaos, and created something that was good. I enjoy the ocean so much. Does anyone like the ocean? Anyone like going to the beach? All right, we are in Australia, after all. We are quite a, you know, we're an island. We love the beach. And I love to go surfing, I love to go diving, and like millions of other people around our globe, we enjoy the water. Now, for many years, I would drive kilometres along a deserted beach down, way down south, in a four-wheel drive, just to see if I could find a deserted, I'd always manage to find a wave where it was just me, myself and I, with no other crowds and just surfing. There is nothing quite like it. Well, maybe a few sharks, but they didn't get me, so I'm still here. The Bible says none of this would have been possible without God creating order in the deep. God created our five oceans. He created the Arctic, the Atlantic, the Indian, the Pacific, the Southern Ocean. He created the seven seas. And back in ancient times, they were referred to as the seven seas, and which are, I can give you them actually, I've written them down. The Mediterranean, the Black Sea, the Aegean Sea, the Red Sea, the Adriatic Sea, the Persian Gulf, and the Arabian Sea, which is now our Indian Ocean. The point is this. The Word was God. Say it with me. The Word was? Jesus was the Creator God in the beginning. John is declaring to the world that Jesus was God. this guy who used to hang out with him and his mates, who went fishing with him, whom on one occasion spoke the word to Peter because he hadn't caught any fish one night. One of his mates said, why don't you just try it on the other side of the boat? And the fish kept swimming into the net that they needed another boat because there was so many fish. This is no ordinary guy. You see, the word moved into the neighborhood and took up residence amongst us. The word for word, the word was with God and the word was God, in the Greek is logos. Why does the fisherman, John, who's written this gospel, use it in this way, use the word logos, which in our English translation basically refers to logic? Why doesn't John simply use the word son? The son came into the world. In the beginning was the Son, and the Son was with God, and the Son was God. John does not use the word Son because John wants to reach as wide an audience as possible, and John begins the story about Jesus on a note that will hook into as a wider scope of humanity as possible. And the word logos does that. The word logos runs deep within every culture John knew in his day. To the Greeks, logos was a familiar word. For the philosopher Heraclitus, the logos was the rational principle behind the universe. The logos was the source of life which gives life its reasonableness. For the Stoic philosophers, the logos was the integrating principle behind the universe that maintains nature, which creates order and unity. So, in the beginning was the rational integrating principle, and the rational integrating principle was with God and was God, and the rational integrating principle became flesh and dwelt among us. So the word logos enabled John to meet people on common ground. The word logos is the means by which God acts in the world. The word was God, logos, was creating, revealing and redeeming. God was self-expressing himself through Jesus. Jesus' desire to meet people on common ground. The Christmas message is about Jesus coming in human form so that you and I can meet him on common ground. He isn't like a king too far to reach, but a king for all. He isn't like a distant God, elusive, never quite present. Jesus crossed every boundary so that he could be made known to all men. The one who made the world entered the world in person. The one who created the world became a human being. This is the good news of Christmas. Anyone glad for the good news of Christmas this morning? The living God has become one of us. And yes, we celebrate Christmas. And yes, even Santa Claus gets a mention. He was originally a good monk or similar. I can't remember exact history, but I was reading about it. And so it started off as good. But anybody that gives out has got to be good. And so there is at least a link there. And so many people around our world display manger scenes. Ours is a little bit bare. Baby Jesus. Okay. But which is fantastic, because at the very least we can see Jesus come into the world in human form to relate with us. I think that every government building, every council office should have a manger scene. It would make a lot of difference that this is a God that we can all relate with. However, many manger scenes. I had a little bit of a read around the globe of what entails manger scenes these days. Well, one guy says, well, they're overpopulated with more than three kings who were not there and came later anyway, several shepherds, animals, a little drummer boy. I'm not sure where the little drummer boy came into it, but anyway, the smallest of angels, and even some display a lobster. I'm happy for it all. I'm happy for an Aussie-looking manger. If you want crayfish around the manger, fantastic. A manger in the snow with a snowman, it really doesn't matter. Here's the thing we can learn from the original manger scene that made by Francis of Assisi in the 3rd century, which began the true celebration of Christmas. Assisi set a manger in the year 1223. The manger he displayed was a cattle feeding trough. The Magi from Matthew were present, the shepherds from Luke were there too, and even some animals. However, what Assisi was centering our attention on was the actual scene of Jesus in the feeding trough. Jesus, who will give his body as food for his followers, is already found in the place where food is provided. From Jesus' birth, he was depicting that he himself said later in his life, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So when the Gospel of John starts, the Word was with God and the Word was God, John wants us to realize that Mary's child, the man from Galilee who walks with, eats with, and plays with real flesh and blood humans, is none other than the maker of the universe. And that's why he could make the claims about who he was so emphatically. Jesus is the game changer for every person. The man who laughs so hard that the religious establishment concludes that he's drunk. The man who weeps so deeply at the grave of his friend Lazarus is none other than the ground of all being. The man who gets so thirsty he has to ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water is the one who in the beginning created H2O. Nothing in all human literature, nothing in all the myths that we use to make sense of human experience can compare with the real Christmas story. Scientists estimate that there are 10 billion galaxies in the observable universe. 10 billion. The number of stars in the observable universe, number 1 billion trillion. I don't know about you, but that's a lot. That's a lot of 1000. Yeah, I mean, by him, are you with me this morning, church? By him, Jesus, the Logos, the rational integrating principle, all things were made. Our sun around Earth accounts for 99.86% of the mass in the solar system. It is 330,000 times larger than the Earth. Every minute the sun pours out 6 billion quadrillion calories of heat. By him all things were made. When Caesar Augustus thought that that he ruled the world, the one who spoke all the galaxies and stars into being, lay in a manger. When Quirinius was governor of Syria, the one who made the stars, the galaxies, and spoke everything into being, entrusted himself to a teenage girl called Mary. When Herod the Great was demonstrating his power across the scene of the birth of Jesus. Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who could speak one word and create, was being nurtured and fed by his earthly mother. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation. John 1:14, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God has taken up residence with us. The glory of Jesus, the Word, is the same as the glory of God the Father. Jesus is God's expression of his divine character, that of complete and steadfast love and faithfulness. Jesus has shown God's unmerited favor toward the world that rejected him. And this is the story of Christmas. St. Augustine of the 3rd century said it this way: "He it is by whom all things are made, who was made one of all things." He went on to say, "The maker of the sun made under the sun." Charles Wesley of the 18th century: "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see," who knows this hymn? "Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with us to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel." Emmanuel simply means God with us. C.S. Lewis of the 20th century, getting a bit more modern now, in the Chronicles of Narnia, I love this one, he says this: "In our world too, a stable once had something in it bigger than the whole world." It is staggering to think of the implications of what Jesus has done for you and I. We have been granted unbelievable dignity. God did not become an angel. God did not become a whale. God did not become an elephant. God did not become a cow. God became a human being, forever dignifying our flesh and blood. God so loved us that God became us. God so loved us that God changed. Before Christmas, the living God was pure spirit. But at Christmas, God altered the mode of his being. God became what God was not. God, Logos, changed the form of his existence forever, fully human, that we might be free from sin and death. The real Christmas story is one of unbelievable love. God became humanity in pain. God became humanity in grief. God identified with every facet of our being. And Christmas declares that it's God who hangs on a tree. It's God who experienced firsthand human violence and injustice. No one knows human suffering more than the humanized God. In a stable on Christmas Eve, God forever wedded himself to our humanity. The future of humanity is as secure as the future of God. It was Jesus who said, "Because I live, you shall live also." Oh, Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for, Lord, the depth of what you have done for us. Catherine, if you could come and just play the keys for me, that'd be awesome. The Word of God became flesh. The Creator of the far-reaching galaxies became one of us. Jesus, Mary's Son, is the living God in our humanity. Jesus was confidently able to say these things during his time on the earth. This is what he said. Well, just some of the things. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world." We sung about that this morning. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He can say like nobody else can. Your sins are forgiven you. Because he is the one and only who has the power to take away all sin. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, then it is finished. His work has been done. It's simply a matter for us to believe the Word has become flesh. He has become one of us. He has become our scapegoat. All we need to do is accept what he has done for us. Why would shepherds fall down before the baby Jesus unless he was God incarnate? Why would the wise men, who before they met Jesus were not Christian, why would they travel thousands of kilometers across the Arabian desert to fall down and worship the young boy Jesus? It is entirely right that millions and millions of people around our globe from all nationalities and cultures worship Jesus every day of their life. Can we stand to our feet, church? The Word was with God, and the Word was and dwelt among us. Today, Lord, we thank you for the Christmas story. The Word became a person to be followed, enjoyed, and loved. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, I'd love to give a challenge to every one of us this morning. Maybe you haven't made a decision for Jesus, or you've backed away from a relationship with him. You can make right today. Will you become a follower of Jesus? Will you recognize that Jesus was God? Jesus in the beginning spoke and things came into being. He made order out of chaos for you and I to enjoy and live out our lives as we do. Will you appreciate what Jesus has done for you today? The Christmas story is a marvelous one. God became one of us. Will you be like the shepherds, like the wise men, and begin your journey of faith and worship him just as they did? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Father God, today we thank you for who you are. Father God, today we invite you into our lives afresh. We thank you, Lord, for the Christmas story, Lord, from beginning to end, that you are our Savior, God, that you had a plan for mankind and you made it, you spoke and you helped us live in this world, and you came because of our dysfunction, and you made right for us. Oh, we're so thrilled with what you've done, Lord. So I want to ask right here, right now, if you've not made a decision for Jesus and you'd like to accept him as Lord of your life, don't let this Christmas go without accepting him as your King, your Savior. If you'd like to receive him as Lord of your life and you haven't done that before, on the count of three, pop up your hand. I'll see it and you can pop it down again, and I'd love to pray with you. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you here today, you're not in relationship with God. You've backslid. You're not following him. The Word of God is not a part of your life. It's time today to refresh your relationship. On the count of three, would you guys just pop up your hand and I'll see it, and you can pop it down again. One, two, three. Thank you. See your hand. I'll pray for you, sir, in just a moment. Just give it one last moment. If you're out of relationship with God and you'd like to return to Him, just give me a wave right here, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd love to pray with that gentleman. We're going to finish our service in just one sec. Can I invite you, is it your friend here? Would you like to come? Let's just celebrate this. Let's give him a hand. Let's give him a clap. Thank you, Jesus. G'day, mate. What's your name?
Josh.
Hey, Josh. Joshua. Yeah. Good name. Awesome. Let's pray a prayer together, hey? You happy with that? Let's invite Jesus in your life fresh. Father, today, you say it with me. Father, today, I accept you as Lord of my life. Come into my heart. I receive you. My past is gone. I look forward to my future with you leading me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, awesome. Good on you, man. It's my friend Bruce here. Just like to share a card with you. Thanks, Joshua. God's good? Awesome. Well, let's celebrate with one another. Let's enjoy this festive season. Merry Christmas to you and your family. The Christmas, by the way, the Christmas concert that we had last week is at Wellard this week. That's why there's a few litres away from Frio today. But God bless you. Have an awesome Christmas.